little walk of Jesus.
We went on the road to Emmaus. And all in this attempt in the Sundays after Easter to stay connected to the cross. You'll notice the cross is not behind me. There is a cross up here that reminds us when we come into God's house of what happened on the cross. But last week and the week before that, all the weeks that come after Resurrection Sunday, we are trying to remember the life after the cross, life after the tomb. What does that mean? What happens next as we talk about that? And Jesus told the disciples to go and to continue his work. And hopefully that's what we're doing as the church. You as a Christian are doing God's work, loving one another, showing compassion to other people. It's always good to have a visual. And again, the last 2 weeks, I just spent some time sitting at the cross. So our focus and attention will be on that cross that was sitting right here or right here in the pulpit. But see, what happens in that on that cross should be in our hearts forever. We'll always be reminded every day. And today we're going to be reminded at the end of our service of what happened on the cross. The body that was broken and the blood that was shed. So we're keeping our eyes on the cross, even though we may not be able to see it, and always remembering in our hearts what happened on the cross, that your sins might be forgiven, that you'd have the opportunity to be with him in heaven. That's what happened on the cross, that he did that for us. And we'll be reminded of that again as we come together, join at the table at the end of our service. And so last week we went on this walk with Jesus, the road to Emmaus, and the question was, do you or will you recognize Jesus? These gentlemen were talking of what happened. The stone had been rolled away and everyone's talking. These guys went on a walk. Jesus shows up. They didn't recognize him at first, but when he broke bread with them, they recognized who he was. My question to you today still is, do you recognize him? Or more importantly, will he recognize you? Do you have a relationship with him? Have you surrendered your life to him? Are you studying his word to know his commands and to know what he wants you to do? Are you spending time in his presence as we are right now? Are you going to him in prayer? Are you seeking him? And so this morning we're going to continue with life after the resurrection. And it's going to lead us today right to the table to be reminded so we will never forget how much he truly loves us. So we're going to continue this morning in Luke chapter 24. And in Luke chapter 24, I'm going to begin in verse 36. And again, Jesus was on his walk and he was asked to stay. But his gentlemen didn't want him to leave. He had dinner with him, broke bread. They recognized who he was. So here we go. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 36, it says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. So again, people are still talking about what has happened. Stone has been rolled away. Jesus isn't there. He has risen. People are talking about it, and all of a sudden, Jesus just starts showing up. But you see, that was typical of his journey. That's what he did. In his journey here on earth when he was born, he just kept showing up. He kept showing up where the people were, where people needed him. He was healing people and teaching people and feeding people. And so here he's come again, just as he said he would. Just as it was written, he has risen and he's shown up. So the disciples hear this, peace be with you. Well, that would startle you, peace be with you, right? Especially when you just thought someone was dead. But why did you really think that? The disciples knew what was going to happen. So you see, they shouldn't have been startled. They shouldn't have been surprised. They shouldn't have been frightened. But they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost in verse 37. In verse 38, he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands. Look at my hands. You ever see my feet? Look at my feet. Oh, that hurt. Okay. See my hands. See my feet. I mean, he's like, why do you guys, what? So Jesus is kind of like startled by their reaction. They're startled by his appearance. He's startled by their reaction. He said, here's my hands, here's my feet. It's me. Now see, I just can't wrap my mind around it. I just can't. And see, I wasn't there. Right? And see again, if you walked in here today or walked in your living room, are you going to be startled? Or are you going to be like, oh, I can't touch you because it's social distancing. what would your reaction be? Will you recognize him? Hope he'll recognize you and say, and know your name. So here, they're startled. And he just said, hey, so why are you doubting? I mean, he's just not getting it, I don't think. And he says, look. And then he says, touch me. You can touch me if you'd like. Touch me. And see that it's really me. I have risen from the dead. The stone has been rolled away just as I said. Just as I told you guys. Here I am. My hands. Look at my feet. There are no more holes in them. Come touch me. Here I am. You're looking at me. You don't believe that. Come touch me. Well, what would you do? Not me. I'd be like, I'd be all over. I mean, I think I would. Because I love him and I want to meet him someday, right? I want to be in his presence because I am right now. So it says, touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. So when he had said this in verse 40, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything to eat? Isn't that great? So they're in shock, right? I mean, these guys are in shock. I mean, I think they're like, oh my God. They're in shock. And Jesus says, as any good Baptist would say, do you have anything to eat? And so, you know, then there's going to be a fellowship dinner, you know, and I can't wait. But we are going to have Sean Flanagan, if you're listening, we will have the chili cook-off. So we like to be in fellowship. We like to be together. And so Jesus just shows up. He says, peace be with you. They're like, woo! And he's like, look, touch me. It's me. Hello. It's me. And they are pretty much in shock. They did not believe it because they're full of joy and amazement. And he just says, do you have anything to eat? So we go on. It says, they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Did that bring back memories? I mean, he fed lots of people with fish and bread, minimal fish and bread, and it was multiplied, right? So they gave him some food. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So Jesus is doing exactly what he said he would do. He's doing exactly what he was told to do. The will of God is being fulfilled here. And he tells him, I'm going to come back. I'm going to die. I'm going to come back. Then I'm going to leave. And I'm going to come back again. And the Holy Spirit's going to come. And so they're like, wow, it really is you. Is it? I mean, these guys were following Jesus. And he was close to them and intimate with them. And he was training them the whole entire time to continue his work when he would leave for good, that they would continue his work, continue to show compassion, continue to feed people, continue to pray with people. And so he says, hey, this is what I told you guys. And see, Jesus, I believe, remains calm. You know, he's like, peace be with you. They're like, oh. And he said, hey, you got anything to eat? No, that's pretty calm. Jesus remains calm and loving. And again, I believe makes this into a teachable moment. Okay, you guys, so don't you remember I told you this is what was going to happen? I know how you believed that some of you betrayed me, some denied me, but I mean, I'm just fulfilling the law of Moses and the prophets. We read that in the Old Testament. The prophets were telling what was going to happen and basically warning people to get it together. And he said, I wasn't joking you guys. I wasn't playing any games. What I told you is what I told you. And what I did is what I did. And here I am. That's, to me, that's summarizing it all together. And he did what he said he was going to do. Because are you reminded this morning, every time I read this, I'm reminded, but are you reminded that God, if he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. God says he'll never leave you, he'll never leave you. God says he'll forgive you if you ask him, he'll forgive you. God says he'll listen when you pray, he'll listen. Because I believe this word to be the truth. So here's Jesus in the midst of these real live people. He's alive, they're alive. He's having his teachable moment. And so then he opened their minds. And again, just teaching, not being crazy and screaming and yelling. Just making it into a teachable moment. You know, we're thankful for our parents that are helping their kids at home. And sometimes when we're helping our kids at home with homework, we sometimes get frustrated when they're not getting it. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm involved in the school system, and I've been hearing about this already for years. And have to tell kids to do it in school sometimes. Do your already. And I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm like, just do it. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Last week, I was helping Grant with this already, and I'm just going to tell you right now, I get a little frustrated, and that pencil I was using went whee, right across the hall, and pinged off the side of the wall there because I just really had a little too much already. So we sometimes, as people, get upset and get angry, and we got to control that. We have to control that. And see, Jesus, he could have just been like, you guys, come on. What do you mean? What do you mean? What are you talking about? I'm a guest. And he could just really lost his mind. But that wasn't him. Jesus showed compassion and love and understanding and most importantly, forgiveness. All the people that were against him and killed him. And certainly more understanding of people that are different. And people, and when we don't get things and things don't come our way easy, we don't understand things, we remain calm. And Jesus remains calm. And they remain calm, right? And it becomes a teachable moment. So he tells them, as we move on to verse 46, he told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from dead on the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. So he's basically reviewing the whole Easter story. He's reviewing the crucifixion and the resurrection. He says, I came, I lived, and remember, he came and lived. His journey was all for you and I, for each of us. He came, he lived, he suffered, he died, he rose again. He says, so now you're to go tell people about this. I did all this, and it says right here, the repentance, for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations. So he's telling these disciples, okay, here I am, touch me, I'm not a ghost, hello, hello, here I am, give me some food, he gives them food, everybody's calmed down, having a teachable moment. He said, hey, this is what was prophesied. This is what I told you, that the Messiah would come, and I came, and I did all these things, and I died, and I rose again. And so now you, disciples, are to go tell people what happened. That what happened on this cross, even though it's not right here in front of you, and you can't see it all the time, but hopefully you believe me, and trust me, and I live in your heart, and you're going to tell people that I came for the forgiveness of sins, that people would repent of their sins, and they would be forgiven. So that message was a teachable moment to the disciples. That's our teachable moment this morning. That again, we are to, if you believe this story to be true, if you believe that he was the Messiah and did all this, then you're to share that and tell people and do what Jesus did. Love other people. Create your own teachable moments. How do you know what to do? You got to know his word. And you got to listen to him. And so he tells them, now, I'm going to send you some help. Okay, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. And again, you know, when God calls you to do something, he's not going to leave you hanging. If you're obedient and will do what God asks you to do, if you say, yes, God, I surrender to you. I want to follow you all the days of my life. And he says, I'll help you. And God, when God calls you to do something, he enables you. He He equips you and he empowers you to do it. So all you have to do is say yes. And he'll give you all that you need. He'll empower you. He'll enable you. And he'll equip you to do the work he's called you to do. He's telling the disciples, that's our message today from his word. That we would go do what he's called us to do, to share the good news. What? That Christ has risen, that he died on the cross, that your sins might be forgiven. And he loves you that much. So go tell others and be like him. Love others and share that with others. Go and do what God would have you do. Jesus is telling disciples, here this morning we are learning what we should be doing. Life after the resurrection. What do you do next? Go and tell people about this forgiveness. Go and tell people about this compassion and love for all people. And he says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to come. And that's going to be your guide, your direction, your guiding force, listening to the Holy Spirit. He said, you guys, wait here. Now, good. Now listen. These people back then didn't always listen very well. Okay? He said, you just stay here. Stay put, basically. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power on high. Clothed with the Holy Spirit. And so, let's review. Jesus was born on Christmas Day in a lowly manger. He lived as a human, just like you and I. And his life was about other people. His entire journey was for you, for me, and for all the people that aren't listening this morning. He did that for everyone. He lived, and in his living, in his journey, he taught, he preached, he fed people, he met needs, he showed compassion on the world. He had all these teachable moments, telling what God's word, preaching God's word. And then he died, just as he said. And he rose again. He's going to come again. And we believe that. And so, we believe that this morning. So, that's what he did. So he shows up. Jesus shows up, appears on the road to Emmaus, and then he shows up here to the disciples. Everybody's calmed down. He tells them, hey, he gives a quick review. This is what I said I was going to do. This is what I did. And so you just hang on, because help's on the way. The Holy Spirit will help you. And that's a reminder to all of us again this morning that God will help you. He just wants to know that you need him. When we pray to him, that's an indication, God, I need you. I can't do this alone. He says, I'm listening. I'm right here. You're seeking me, you'll find me. If you're listening to me, I'm going to help you. But you've got to acknowledge that you need me. That's what God wants us to do, to acknowledge that we need him. And so when we acknowledge that we need him, and we can't live without him, we surrender our lives to him, we repent of our sins, he comes into our heart. And then we have the Holy Spirit. We're to listen to the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit, that God's will might be. So he's basically done talking to these disciples. He's reviewed. He told them, you stay put until you be clothed with the power from on high. And we go on to verse 50. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. In verse 52, then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. So Jesus leaves. He's ascended into heaven. He's going to prepare that place, remember? John chapter 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust, if you believe in God, believe in me. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you and I'll be back. And if it wasn't true, I would have told you the truth, because God tells the truth. Jesus told the truth. So he's been ascended into heaven, and he's going to prepare a place, but he'll be back. He's preparing a place for all of us that believe in him and have surrendered to him. He's preparing that place, and he'll come back. What a great promise. See, we read the story of Easter, and we know about the crucifixion or resurrection, but you need to know what happened after that.
You need to know what to do next. Life after the resurrection, it continues for us. Just as these guys learn right here, he reviewed, reminded them, and tell them, okay, you go and make disciples, teaching people to repent of their sins, and that they will be forgiven. And again, this great promise that through the Holy Spirit, you won't be alone. Through the Holy Spirit, you will not be alone. God will always be with you if you want him to be. God is with you if you want him. If you want him to be. God is close to you as you want him to be. See, you push people out of your life. People push you out of their life. God says, no, I promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm right here. You keep pushing. I'm going to push back. And I'm always going to be right here. So again, we go back to that question. Do you recognize Jesus? Do you recognize this to be the truth? Do you believe this story is true? Will he recognize you? He'll recognize you if you believe this and surrender to him. Give your life to him. Repent of your sins and do your best to live for him and to be like him. To follow his plan that we read about in Jeremiah. Follow his plan and let the Holy Spirit move and work. And again, whatever God calls you to do, he says, I'll enable you, I'll equip you, and I'll empower you to do what I've called you to do. So if you believe that and accept him as your Savior, then what do? Go where he wants you to go. Do what he wants you to do. And be who he's called you to be. Even though you don't have that picture, going back to that famous Easter hymn. How do I know he lives? He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He lives in my heart. He lives in my heart. So that's our message as we continue in this journey to be all that he calls us to be. Continuing to be obedient. So again, if you're listening this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you can do it right where you are. You can tell him, I admit that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe this to be the truth. I believe that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Just telling the Lord that. It's a decision that you make on your own. And you see God's listening. And see, if you're seeking him, he certainly is waiting for you. See, you might be seeking him. He's not looking for you. He's waiting for you. So this morning, we've read God's word. We've prayed together. We've been in his presence. Fellowship together on social media. I'm trying to figure out what it is that we do next in reading his word. That's how we know what to do. And so we learned that this morning. So now we come to this table. And this is our reminder every day. Certainly here in the Baptist church, once a month, the first Sunday of the month, we come to the table. You know, the last couple of weeks, we talk about coming into God's presence where you are and how you are. You can have a suit on. You can be in your pajamas. Coming into God's presence. Well, this morning, I invite you now to come to the table. Just as you are, wherever you are. And as you come to the table, we're reminded of what happened on that cross. This morning, on my way to the church, I've heard this song, and my radio is always on Caleb. That's all I listen to, or some Christian radio. And I've been listening to lots of songs, watching lots of videos, and watching different pastors, and listening to other devotions. It's just a real blessing to me. It reminded me of that song this morning. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Are you a child of God this morning? Have you surrendered your life to him? Do you believe his word to be the truth? Do you believe this morning? Have you surrendered to him? Because God has a place for you. He has a plan for you. But he's also preparing a place for you. I am a child of God.
Yes, I am.
So we come to this table this morning, just as we are, however we are. God says, I love you, and I'll forgive you. And so he wants us to come in that spirit of forgiveness.
I want to share a scripture as we come to the table this morning. This is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. It says, for I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and asked and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death.
Father, we thank you for our time together and your presence this morning. And as we read your word, we believe it. We know that you brought peace on earth. And those startled disciples, you approached them with the words, peace be with you. I pray this morning that we have peace. And the only way that we can have peace is knowing you as our personal Savior. We can have true peace if we've surrendered our life to you. We're living for you. Trying our best to do all you've called us to do. God, we love you this morning. And God, we believe your word to be the truth. We've read your word. And God, we've read your instructions that just the disciples were told to go make disciples and to go and teach people of your forgiveness and your love and compassion, that people would repent of their sins. God, I pray that all of us right now would repent of our sins and come to this table to be reminded of what happened on that cross. God, I pray if there's anyone listening, again, that doesn't know you as their Savior, God, they would surrender to you right now. Ask you to come into their heart. Forgive them of their sins, and that you would be their Savior, they'd confess you as their Savior, they'd commit to you. I pray that right where they are. Oh God, we love you. And God, we surrender. God, right now, just help us as we come to this table to remove all the distractions. Maybe right where we are, we need to move to another part of the room or go into a different room. Spend some time with you and to prepare our hearts as we come to the table. Father, we love you, thank you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Never shall run dry. Feel
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. For God's word this morning, and now as we come to the table, I invite you to come to this table just as you are. That you come to this table and examine your heart. You repent of your sins, and you'd ask God to forgive you of those sins. And knowing that he went to the cross where his body was broken, his blood was shed. It says in the Bible for the world, change that to you. Put your name in there. For God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son for you, that Jesus came to forgive the sins of the whole world. Jesus came to the world to forgive your sins, my sins. Come to the table just as you are. And as you come just as you are, examine your heart and surrender to him. I'd like you to close your eyes wherever you are. And hopefully wherever you are, you can have a moment of silence. Because I'm going to stop talking for right now. I just want you to spend some time with Jesus. Examine your heart before you meet him at the table. And then I will pray a blessing. Father, we come to this table to break of this bread and drink of this cup. But God, we come in silence. We come into your presence, removing all the distractions. Forgetting about what might be next. And focusing our attention on that cross that will always remain fresh in our minds and always on our hearts. And God, as we come to this table, we come as sinners, all of us, in need of a Savior. We come with repentance in our hearts that God, you would forgive us of our sins. And God, we believe that this to be true, that you sent your Son Jesus, who lived, suffered, and died, he rose again, and he went to prepare a place for us, and he will be back. Why? Because you love us. God, thank you for loving us that much. And God, for all of us that are listening and watching this right now or later on, God, we serve a risen Savior. We serve a God who loves us no matter what. And so, God, now we pray you would bless our time together at the table. As we come to your table, that you would bless this cup that reminds us of the blood that was shed. You would bless this bread that reminds us of the body that was broken. You did that once. Once and for all. That we might be forgiven. That we might live with you forever. And that we'll always be in your presence. And God, may we be reminded of the symbol of what we're about to do, what it means, and may we share it with the others. May we go, do, and be. So this morning I have a wafer, which is what we do here at the Baptist Church. I know people are watching and don't generally attend our church. Just letting you know that we use these wafers, and we have these real cute little to-go communion cups, and they are tricky to open, but I'd like for you to grab your bread, whatever form it might be in, whether it's a cracker or whatever it might be. So as you hold your bread this morning, we are reminded in Scripture that after Jesus gave thanks for the bread, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this." And so likewise, he took the cup. As you hold your cup this morning, whatever it might be, reminding you that it represents the blood of Jesus, the blood of Christ,
that was shed for you. Why? Because he loves you. Why? Because he'll always love you. Why? Because God keeps his promises. He said he would send a Messiah who would die on the cross that your sins might be forgiven. God loves you that much. So as you drink of this cup, do this. I'm going to ask, as we generally close here on Communion Sunday at the Baptist Church, that you would stand with me wherever you might be. And we're going to end with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. So again, I want to thank you for joining with us this morning. I just want to encourage you to...